Morning. Perhaps this morning you'd open your Bibles with me to the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 31, the last book, the last chapter in the book of Proverbs. The final two chapters of this book are not written by Solomon. Solomon starts the book, goes through chapter 29, but when you get to chapter 30, there's a different author. Solomon was not able to write chapter 30 of the book of Proverbs. Solomon had written the entire book of Proverbs. Perhaps our thought might be that in order to have wisdom, you had to be a Solomon. And if you weren't a Solomon, there wasn't any chance of you having wisdom. So the Holy Spirit, in divine wisdom, had Eger pen a chapter in the Book of Wise Sayings. And Eger was a man who, by his own admission, did not have the refinement or the sensibility of a King Solomon. He said, I am more brutish than any man. And yet he was able to sit down and pen these words in chapter 30. The Holy Spirit emphasizing the point that James makes in his epistle, that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Not just a Solomon. All of us are able to go to God for wisdom. And so chapter 30 of Proverbs is written, not by Solomon. But then the book had to be closed. There were two more subjects that needed to be written about before the book of Proverbs was complete. And again, Solomon's pen was not able to do the job. But this time for a different reason. There was sin in Solomon's life. And because there was sin in Solomon's life, his potential for service was limited. Remember Moses? The mildest, meekest man that ever lived, the Bible tells us, lost his temper, wasn't able to complete the job that God had given him to do. Sin in Moses' life had limited the service. God had to get somebody else to take the children of Israel into the promised land. Solomon had sin in his life. And perhaps God's thought or God's plan would have been for Solomon to pen this book, this chapter. But because of sin, Solomon couldn't do it. I think it's a sober lesson for each of us to stop and consider. Sin in my life can limit my potential for service to God. The poet has said, in ages past, their time began. God saw and placed you in His plan. And where he leads, that place must be his pre-appointed place for thee. God looks upon the work he planned and sees the part wherein you stand. Another cannot fill the place where he has set you by his grace. He has a plan and a place for each of us. But sin in our life might make it so that God cannot use us in that place. Perhaps that's what Isaiah had in mind when he says, I have not heard, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, what I might have accomplished for him if there wasn't sin in my life. Solomon in all his greatness, his potential for service limited. Moses, the great leader of God's people, his potential for service limited by sin. Two subjects Solomon was not able to write about. In all of his wisdom, he was not able to write about the subject of proper behavior for God's chosen royalty. Doesn't really make sense. If you stop and read the history of Solomon, the Queen of Sheba appears and she looks over all of Solomon's kingdom and she says, you know, Solomon, everything's in order. You do everything just right. The knife and the spoon are on the right side of the plate. The forks are on the left side of the plate. The napkin is folded under the forks. Everything is proper. Your servants, oh, how they serve. Even the way you carry yourself. But that's not what God was concerned with. He was concerned with a different kind of conduct. And Solomon could not write and tell others the proper way that God's chosen royalty should behave. And Solomon couldn't write about a virtuous woman. King Lemuel says, her price, she is so rare, she's worth her weight in rubies. And Solomon can tell you how rare she is. He had over 700 wives. Couldn't find one. And so we read the words in chapter 31 of King Lemuel. The prophecy or the burden that his mother taught him. What my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows, give not thy strength to women. Nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth, for the dumb. In the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction, open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the lowly and the needy. This was the burden that the king's mother had for her son. Not only did she have a burden for him, she taught him the burden. I think to enter into this, really enter into this, you have to either be a mother or a son. Mothers have special burdens for their children. Certain desires, certain hopes, certain aspirations. You can sense that in her words. Oh, my son. Oh, son of my womb. Oh, son of my vows. This is my burden for you. What was her burden for her son? That he behave himself in a manner that becometh royalty. Solomon's mother had a burden for him. Her burden for him was that he might be king. Nathan came to her, he said, isn't your son supposed to be king? If you want him there, you better get in and see David, because somebody else is taking his job. But Lemuel's mother, her concern went past that. Her concern went to the point where, I want you to behave like one. I want you to know how to carry yourself. I want you to know how to act as a member of the royal family, even before you become a king. The tenor of verses 3-7 is this. There are some things that are acceptable. Some things in their own place and at their own time are correct. But as a prince now and later as a king, these things are not acceptable practice or behavior for you. You are royalty. Do you know anybody? Are you familiar with anybody that is a member of a royal family in this day and age? Do you know anybody personally who is a member of a royal family? Turn over to the second chapter of the first epistle of Peter. Peter's first epistle, chapter 2. If you start in verse 1, chapter 1, you find out that this book is being written to those who were chosen by the foreknowledge of God, sanctified by the Spirit, whose Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ. An epistle to believers. Chapter 2 and verse 9. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. You're different. that you may show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Revelation chapter 3. At the close of seven letters written to seven different churches, we read the verse. But the tenor of Revelation would be that these verses are written to any member of the royal family. Any member who is a believer, who is a member of the universal church. Verse 21, chapter 3, to him, the Lord Jesus speaking, that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. It's not a matter of at one point in time you're going to be able to sit in this chair just to see what it feels like. But he says this throne is going to be yours by right if you overcome. Because it's mine by right, because I overcome. If you sit on a throne, you are a member of royalty. You back up to chapter 1 and you read the words of the song of the redeemed. Chapter 1, verse 5. Unto him that loveth us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests, or a kingdom of priests. Unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I can remember back to my days in high school when I would come home and I would ask my mother if I could do something. I always knew the answer was going to be no, but I'd ask anyway. And I'd say, but Mom, everybody's doing it. Any mothers ever hear that line? Everybody's going, why can't I? That's the length that everybody's wearing their hair. Why can't I? The same answer every single time. You are not everybody else. I don't have to answer for those children. I have to answer for you. You're different. You're supposed to be different. And everybody else is supposed to be able to tell. Oh, how that used to infuriate me. You're not everybody else. And that's what the mule's mother is trying to teach him here. You're different. You're a member of royalty. You should carry yourself that way. With privilege goes responsibility. A fact of life. You can't avoid it. For example, the privilege of living in a free land. the privilege of walking the streets of a nation that was founded in freedom and continues in freedom. Is there a responsibility that goes with that? I know 10 men. And as sure as I know these 10 men, I know that there are hundreds more, maybe thousands. These 10 men are in prison, have been for the past 2 or 3 years. In Egypt. And their families have gone through some great suffering these past 3 years because the wage earner, the head of the house, is in prison. Those prison doors would be open to these 10 men if all they did was denounce their faith in Jesus Christ. That's all they have to do. And they can walk out. They're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. And perhaps the Lord Jesus is going to ask them why they never preached the gospel downtown Cairo. And they're going to say, because I spent my years in jail for my faith in Jesus Christ. Perhaps I'll be standing next to them. And the Lord Jesus will ask me if I ever preach the gospel in Fayetteville. Does privilege have responsibility? Oh, that I might enjoy the freedoms I have. But oh, that I might be found a good steward of this responsibility that go with it. Lemuel, you're a member of royalty. And some things that are okay, you just can't do. People expect more from you. Perhaps there's somebody here this morning that isn't a member of that royal family. That would seem to be the first order of business. The Lord Jesus in John chapter 8 said, you can have only one of two fathers. And when you're born into this world, your father is not God. The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, a member of the ruling class of Israel, that's not good enough. He must be born again. Nicodemus couldn't understand that. What do you mean? I'm a child of Abraham. I'm a member of the nation who is God's chosen people. I am a ruler in that nation. You must be born again. That applied to Nicodemus. it has applied to every human being that has ever walked on this earth. And if you have not been born again, you cannot be a member of the royal family. You might have license to do a lot more in this life. You might be able to do some of those things King Lemuel couldn't do. But in a day to come, you're going to hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And they're going to come from the lips of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We read in 1 John chapter 5 this morning. And John writes to the Christians there, he says, "I write to you that ye may know ye have eternal life." Wouldn't it be a disaster if you reach the end of your life and found out then you weren't a member of the royal family? Do I have to go through life wondering what it's going to be like on that final day? John says, no. I'm writing unto you that you know. That you have no doubts. You're a member of that royal family. A few more responsibilities in this life. But an eternity in the royal palace of heaven. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, today, while you still have a chance, accept Him. The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness. People were dying by the hundreds. And when He lifted up that serpent of brass, anybody that looked on that serpent lived." And He says the Son of Man is going to be lifted up also. And John says, if you believe on who He is, the Christ, the Son of the living God, then you can know you have eternal life. Before it's too late, make certain that you're a member of God's royal family. What about those of us who are members of that royal family? We know we are. We have that assurance that John speaks about. Some questions come to my mind for us. Are we behaving like royalty? Are we living the way a member of the royal family is living? It's not really a question that's unfair to ask. In the royal families of this world, nowadays, there are special things they are required to do. Right down to who you marry. You would think if you were a member of royalty, you could marry anybody you please. But just a week or so ago, I heard of somebody who was 16th or 17th in line to the throne of England. He had to give up his right to that throne because he married the one he loved. There are certain expectations in the royal families of this world. And you know, some people that are members of the royal family of heaven have given up the right, their right, to sit in the throne of Revelation 3:21 because of who they marry. Do I behave myself as royalty? Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, for sin shall not have dominion, shall not have lordship, shall not be the ruling party over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. Am I behaving as royalty? Turn to Luke chapter 15. Because if I'm not behaving like royalty, the question might be asked, am I behaving more like the prodigal son? In verse 11, there was a certain man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. There have been some tremendous gospel messages preached from this chapter. But if you go back to the story, the first story in the chapter, and you read about a lost sheep, and then you go to the second story and you read about a lost coin, and how the owners of both searched till they were found, and then you read the first verse of chapter 16. The thought here is also one of stewardship. Am I a good steward of the sheep that God has given me? Am I a good steward of the coins that God has given me? Or don't I care if one gets lost? One I can't account for. In verse 1 of chapter 16, we read, he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. The prodigal son went in to a foreign land and wasted his substance in riotous living. Joined himself to a man of that country. And a day to come before a judgment seat of Christ, what would you do if that was the story that unfolded of your life? I've wasted my substance. I have not behaved as a blood-bought child of God. With privilege, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. So often a portion we read to those getting married. But there's no mention of marriage here. The scope is much wider. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Satan? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith Jehovah Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Remember Philippians chapter 2? For he has suffered in the flesh, for he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein it they think that it's strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Oh, that the world would speak such evil of me. Peter says you're different now. You're a member of royalty. Oh, my son. Oh, the son of my womb. Oh, the son of my vows. Walk in a way that becometh royalty. Royalty. Can you hear somebody else saying those words today? Isn't that God's pleading with us? You're different. You're special. Live that way. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. To him that saved us from the world and washed us in his blood, called us to share his glorious throne as kings and priests of God. To him let every tongue be praised and every heart be loved, all grateful honors paid on earth and nobler songs above. May it be so for his sake. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee for the privilege which is ours of being called the sons of God. Father, we pray that day by day thy Spirit would wean our hearts from the things of this life, that we would walk more in a manner that is fitting to our calling. We pray, Father, that in some small way as we walk through this life, we might bring honor and glory to that blessed man of Calvary. We thank thee, Father, for all that thou hast bestowed upon us, but we thank thee most of all for him, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.